5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Transmitting from the Marmalade District in the heart of Salt Lake City, Utah.
This is the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast.
Starring Certified Cicerone,
Lauren Lurch,
and Certified Beer Connoisseur,
Jenny Schaefer.
These two badass bitches are gonna school you with some knowledge
about Utah's ever-growing, ever-popular, and ever-changing Utah craft beer scene.
So, crack open a beer. Turn this up and settle in for another edition of
the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, coming at you now.
Welcome to the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast. My name is Lauren Lurch.
I'm Jenny Schaefer.
Way to be prepared.
I know I'm Jenny Schaefer and we're the Crafty Beer Girls. I know that much. And we have an... Oh, actually, Lauren, sorry. I'm trying to take over. Are you going to introduce our guest?
Yeah. Is this the intro that we're going to accept as what we're doing?
We can.
No.
I mean, you know, if we Mike do like no. more, Mike is just going to leave them all in.
Welcome. You've got mail. Welcome to the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast. My name's Lauren. That's Jenny over there. Just didn't let her say her own name.
Yeah, I'm Jenny.
A lovely guest here. Her name is Jennifer Hamilton of Mountain West Hard Cider.
Hello.
Super kind of her to offer up Mountain West as a place for us to record our podcast. It's happened, I think this is the third or fourth time.
I think it's the third time we've been here, yeah.
Happy to have you.
Woo-hoo. Yeah, we love this place because we get to drink stuff that we bring. Should I not say that?
No, you can say that.
Okay.
This is private property.
Office.
This is not part of the bar.
This is not part of the bar. So yeah, that means we can bring beer and we have some cider that we want to drink because this is a cider making place.
Cidery.
I guess cidery is like winery, but cidery.
Yeah.
Or is like, that what you guys call yourselves, a cidery?
That is what we call ourselves, a cidery. I can't think of any other word that we would.
I don't know.
Call.
I'm just.
But yes, it's. A
I'm
cidery.
Just more like I go to breweries, and so I. Just
I know
feel,
it's hard. That's hard to make that transition.
I know. Like
Jennifer, it sounds like we need some education.
Couple things played into it. I'm not a huge beer drinker. I'm not going to say it's celiacs, but I definitely have a sensitivity to gluten. So I would drink beer, and I do enjoy drinking beer, but I always didn't like the way it made me feel after. Yeah. My husband, Jeff, is a huge beer drinker, large quantities beer drinker. He's got a very small repertoire of beers that he'll drink. But he was into beer. I wasn't. We met in the financial services industry. And as part of that, we traveled abroad a lot for different conferences and things. And I was in Ireland and went to a bar and they had a local cider because I asked them if they had a gluten-free option. They had a local cider and it was just delicious. It was dry. It was smooth. It was probably like a 6 or 7% ABV, but it wasn't the cocktails or the wines that I was usually drinking. So finally could, you know, keep up with Jeff, if you will. Fast forward, we come back here to Utah where we're living. There's not a whole lot of options for cider here in Utah. I mean, there was Angry Orchard. There's your Sidra, you know, your national brands. All of it was just so super sweet. Would give me a headache and... Yeah. I knew that this kind of craft dry style existed. So Jeff and I actually just did some research. It was prompted to by an article he read that cider was the fastest growing segment of the alcoholic beverage industry. And this was about 2015. We just saw opportunity, met with a couple orchards here locally, met with a firm that could help us put together a business plan. And what was originally going to be this kind of small regional cidery, we're now celebrating our four year of our doors being open November 8th, And it's definitely grown. We were in Wyoming last week picking up some accounts. Jeff's in Oregon right now meeting with some distributors. So it's just kind of evolved and it's been great. And we've got about 8 people on staff. Most of the time, it obviously changes with the season, and some of our associates. But yeah, so it really started with just the sensitivities to gluten and an financial opportunity, obviously. That, yeah. Still making money, but we're getting there.
Hey, that's how it goes.
But you're bringing cider to the masses, and people in Utah did not, you're right, they didn't have access to anything like what you guys make.
And we're still, yeah, no,
I shouldn't say anything.
But. We're still educating the local, the Utah community. Right. We still have a lot of people that come in and ask, yo, do you have something like Reds? And it's like, well, let's back up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a completely new product, new to the market. And so it did take a lot of education at first, but I think we've built a brand and a reputable brand, and we've had really consistent product, and we have a fan base that keeps coming back. So
yeah, and I think for the people that are gluten-free, or for whatever reason, whether it's a sensitivity or just a choice.
Yeah, and a lot of it is choice.
It's a nice option because it's naturally gluten-free. It's not like you took the gluten out.
Right, naturally gluten-free.
Or use something weird to make it.
It's all natural ingredients. Yeah, we're not using artificial aromas, coloring. Yeah, just trying to keep a pure, clean product out there. So
cool. Maybe we're going to open some cider here. Do you want to talk about it? Tell us what's going on.
Absolutely. So what you're about to open there is our annual Green Urban Lunchbox release. This is actually last year's hyperlocal cider product. Every year we switch it up. We always source the apples from within 15 miles of Salt Lake City, and we work with Green Urban Lunchbox, which is a local nonprofit that harvests residential and commercial fruit trees here locally. If you don't know about them, check them out. They've got a great website. There's a lot of ways for people to get involved and volunteer. But one of their...
sorry, Jenny's just pouring cider all over herself.
Relax.
I wanted to pour it in front of the microphone. Here, I'll let you pour it.
She wanted to pour it. Yeah, we should... I'll be quiet for a second while you get the pouring.
But I heard that if you smell like cider, people like you. If you, like, pour it on... Wait, no?
Nice.
They're like, you smell like cider. ASMR. Lauren did the better job of that.
She did.
I'm sorry.
Do you want to smell some? Do you want me to pass this back to you?
No, go ahead. I smell it all day. I did want to smell yours. We'll do that later.
Oh, okay.
This is like...
really... it's really kind
of
crisp.
Is it kind of floral a little bit to you?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I believe we have this this specific year vintage. That's the word
you
I'm
did.
Looking for.
The vintage.
Yeah, you guys were one of the first ones to come in and try it. And I thought I'd bring it today because we are working on this year's installation, if you will, of Green Urban Lunchbox. So last week, Green Urban Lunchbox and their volunteers came and pressed all the apples that they had picked from community right out in our garden, which is a really fun thing to see. They picked and pressed it for us, so now it's fermenting, wild yeast fermenting in a little tote.
Oh, you guys use wild yeast for it?
Yeah, we just let it naturally ferment. And then what we'll do is we'll bottle condition it. And that'll give it that little bit of carbonation that you got there. And it's every year because we wild yeast ferment. It changes. The first year we did it in 2018, it was like, I called it farmhouse funky. It was really kind of like gritty, but in a good way.
Gritty.
In a good way. Yeah. I realized when it came out.
I like that.
There are worse words that I'm just fine with.
Yeah.
You know.
Like sweaty gym sock. I'm just fine with that.
Goaty? Delicious.
Barnyard. Horse's ass.
Okay, that's not one.
So what do you think?
Sorry.
I get a lot of watermelon on the nose. I don't think I got that last time.
Well, it's so we had this on the podcast too.
Right. I mentioned that like 2 minutes ago.
I know, but I think she was thinking about
I was thinking about the
year.
Time you guys came in and tasted it.
Yeah. Yeah, when they were actually having their little party
there.
I think you guys did it around a Red Rock release, didn't you? Like coincided because Red Rock is next door and sometimes they have bottle releases and you guys try to
take advantage of
beckon the people in the line to come over and try some tasty cider. And
We always let Red Rock know when we're releasing too, if they want to do something fun. And it's a great way to get people to the community. And
Yeah, kind of little crossover action happening.
Mm-hmm. Little crossover, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Little crossover action.
They released today, as a matter of fact. They're Buffalo.
Buffalo Point.
Point, yeah.
They're hazy.
Well, anyway, so this is kind of the last few bottles of last year's version. It is now reduced price. It's $9.99. We're still sending $5 of every bottle sold back to Green Urban Lunchbox to help in their initiatives with food banks. But the reason why I wanted to bring this is because I am excited. The current version is fermenting and it'll be ready around Thanksgiving. So
perfect. That's a good Thanksgiving drink to have.
I agree.
Right. It's a nice fall. Cider is I always think of cider in the fall. I think I'd probably drink it more in the fall.
A lot of people think that, which is so funny because that's actually when it's picked. And then traditionally, if you were in Europe, traditionally it's picked in the fall. Ferments over several months and then is actually released in the summer.
Oh, okay. So it's more of a summer drink traditionally. Yeah. I guess I'm thinking more of hot cider Halloween parties.
Mold cider.
Yeah. Mold cider. Yeah, it's different than this hard cider stuff that we're drinking.
We occasionally will release in the bar downstairs. Actually, we did it last year. I say occasionally, it happens all the time. But around the winter, fall time, we'll do a little crock pot of cider and mold spices, cinnamon, nutmeg, star anise, so on and so forth. And we'll top it off with a little cold cider. It's really nice.
Okay. Well, so do you do one of your ciders that way, or do you just get some other kind of cider? And then you
we just get
it?
A regular sweet apple cider, a Gala apple cider that you get at the market. Yeah. Let that kind of warm up. And if you want a shot of whiskey with it too, which is delicious, absolutely, that's not off the table. Vodka, I don't know. Whiskey is good.
Yes,
cider whiskey. Top off is good. Hard cider top off is good. So.
But some rum might be good.
Rum.
Sure. Yeah. I do think out of all the spirits, I prefer whiskey with cider. Mm-hmm. There's just something earthy about the whiskey that goes really nicely with the hot cider. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, they do complement each other really well.
So you guys, we've talked about this before, but there's a beer garden downstairs that is still open.
Or is it a cider garden?
A cider garden. Well, there is beer.
It's beer, cider, liquor. Yeah. It's just all local. We don't have a single national brand that you'll find downstairs. It's open this weekend.
Is it the last? I saw something about the last weekend for all ages.
For all ages, correct. Okay. Yeah, I definitely want to make that distinction. So we pulled single event permits every weekend through September and most of October because we're in a community here that's growing. There's a lot of young families. So it was our way of kind of giving back to the community. And we did see a lot of young families here. It was one of the only places you can go with a kid and listen to live music for free and drink.
And a dog.
Can't forget about the fur babies.
All the kids.
Exactly. So this weekend, and this weekend is, the 28th? I don't even know what the date it is.
It's the 25th today. Yeah, for those listening.
I don't know what day it is either.
We're recording this on Friday the 25th, so.
Yeah. So this is the last weekend of all ages, but we'll still be open next Thursday and Friday. Thursday's obviously Halloween. We're encouraging people to come out and obviously wear their Halloween outfits, and we'll do something fun for those people. And we have Friday as well, which is our Day of the Dead party.
Fun.
And then we're officially closed for the season. We're still doing private parties.
Okay, that's what I was wondering. I was wondering if you guys, I know you guys weren't open last winter, but I also knew that you got more of a full bar license, didn't you?
Yep.
So that made me wonder if you were going to.
We still have the full bar license. It'll just be inside only.
Okay.
And currently inside we have 12 seats, but we are working on getting our permit to expand it further into our production facility, which would allow about 25 seats.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
What does Joel think about that?
I mean, Joel, if you give Joel extra space, he's going to fill it with shit. So it doesn't matter what Joel thinks about it.
That's what I thought the answer would be. It doesn't matter. Who's Joel?
Joel Goodwillie. Yeah. Joel's our cider maker, cider master, ciderella.
I feel like he told me head one cider. Time some head word cider. That I didn't understand what it was. He's like, yes, I'm the procurer or so, I don't know. I forget what he said, and I was like, whoa, what? Okay.
All kinds of lingo we're not familiar with.
Yeah. I was like,
you just have to Google it.
That sounds
if we were like crafty cider girls, we'd know, but we're not.
Yeah, sorry.
We're crafty beer girls. Sorry, guys.
It's that difficult, cider, by the way.
No, it's actually easier than brewing in some
Absolutely,
ways.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a lot of, I'd argue 90% of the cider maker's job is cleaning.
Mm. You know, it's a lot of sitting around and same for waiting. Brewing.
That part's not different.
Mm. A lot of sitting around and waiting.
But you don't have to boil the apple juice. It's like, I bet the apple pressing. You guys don't do that, really, do you?
We only do it for Green Urban Lunchbox. It is a mess.
So much work.
It is so much work. It is a mess. Yeah, it's just a lot of labor that we're not willing to do. So we've partnered with a bunch of orchards that they pick and press it for us. They help to store it and make life a lot easier. Cool. And all we do is make a phone call. So,
phone call. I don't know why that was my response.
Because you have different kinds of phone calls than we do.
Phone call.
I want to be on a phone call with Lauren.
Just listening, though.
I just want to listen in. The party line. I want to check it out.
Oh, man.
We're sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
The Crafty Beer Girls podcast is being brought to you in part by Little Caesar Salads, a healthy alternative to shitty $5 pizza. And by Soft Ice. From the makers of Hard Ice comes Soft Ice for those with sensitive mouths. And by the Utah Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control, also known as the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, who would like to remind you that you will take what we give you and you'll like it. And now back to your Crafty Beer Girls podcast with your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch.
I don't know if this is a good segue, but...
No.
Apparently not.
I don't want to, like, not keep going with a good thing here. Like, we're talking... No, I don't know. I'm curious about, because we're kind of, this week is like the last week of 4% beer in Utah. And so it's kind of like a momentous occasion for the state to have the cap on draft and grocery store beer raised from 4% ABV to 5%.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for clarifying ABV. I am ABV. Sick and goddamn tired of seeing, it's going
to
be
3.2 to 5.
3.2 to 5 or 3.2 to 4. I'm like, listen,
weight versus volume.
Screw that weight bullshit.
For those of you that don't know, 3.2 is a prohibition term. It's a reference to alcohol by weight, and it was introduced because after the prohibition, a lot of people were drinking soda. It was 13 years long. You know, what are you going to do? I guess you drink soda or something. And then to get people to drink beer again, they're like, well, we have to say it has alcohol, but if we say it's by weight, then it seems like it's not as much.
Yeah, and then people would be like,
and
oh,
here
I can
we are
that.
In almost 2020, and people are still using ABW in Utah. And so this whole 3.2 thing, 3.2 by weight is the same as 4% by volume. And so... people are reporting this incorrectly on a bunch of different news websites and articles, and I am just so sick of it.
Fake news. Fake news.
It's a little frustrating. So thank you for specifying.
Yeah. I was actually curious because I'm like, I was thinking about this and I thought, how does that affect you guys? Does that affect you at all?
It doesn't. We're considered a wine in the state of Utah. Okay. So
if you want to sell in the grocery store.
We still can't because we're considered wine.
Really?
Grocery store is only allowed.
But you
beer.
Have a 4%.
It has nothing to do with the ABV. It's the category. So in grocery store, you can only sell brewed products. Beers. However, that happening may open some doors for us, but it would take us probably getting, you know, a lobbyist and people to back our initiatives. But in Utah, you can only sell beer in grocery.
But what about the draft? Because doesn't that affect, because you guys do have, don't you have a 4%?
We have a 5%.
It's 5%. But you had something on draft, didn't you?
We have everything on draft because we're considered
because
a wine. We can be on draft. We're just limited in what we can pour.
How did I not know this?
So it's an interesting, it's Utah. I love it here, but so cider has a lot of weird regulations because it is considered a wine, even though it's not as high a point right. as a wine, even though the price points are very different from the wine. Right. Taxation's different. Utah's the highest taxed state for wine. So we're dealing with that. But there, so the draft question, we're allowed to have any ABV on draft if it's wine. We are limited, though, to a 5-ounce pour or a measurement that they have not actually described as far as volumes, and they call it a carafe.
Right. So I was going to say, I've seen people out there with carafes of cider.
Yeah. So, and that's very common. So, and most people, I mean, if you want to try it, the 5-ounce pour is great. If not, they just end up buying, the larger format.
Right.
So that's kind of the limitation on cider on draft. You can imagine we don't have a huge draft market here because of that reason. But when we were in Wyoming, we would go to these new accounts, and they're just like, oh, yep, they'll just pour it right in a pint glass from the draft. That's how the rest of the country drinks cider.
Just like normal, like it's beer. Because it is exactly. It is a lot more like beer.
It's more,
than wine.
Much more comparable.
Maybe beer, I guess.
Well, the way it's made, it's like wine. But as far as the way it's consumed, I would say it's more like beer.
Exactly.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's a lot lower. That's funny, because I was totally wrong. I thought you guys had like a 4% wine and I just sort of thought, oh, it's just like beer, but it's not. Oh, nope. Cool.
Yeah. There you go. Little nugget.
There you
Good to know. Learning all sorts of, as usual.
But what's crazy is we have 16-ounce cans, and you're sitting here with a 750 milliliter bottle. If it's packaged, there's no issue.
Yeah.
You can order a 16-ounce can. I can just open it at the bar as the bartender, pour a little in a glass, and give it to you.
I could just drink this right out of the bottle and just,
We have to give you a glass, right?
But I don't have to use it.
So.
You don't have to use it, no. But I think we have to give you a glass. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll be fine.
So speaking of November 1, I can't imagine from a production standpoint, how did you keep up, or how did you know how many volumes to make before?
Right.
That must have been a challenge. I just think that would be a nightmare, because you still needed to keep things.
Yeah.
But you didn't want too much left over, right? So
How do you time that just right?
I'm really glad that I have no part in that.
Lauren is a brewer at UNTS, so she's been dealing with this, right?
I've been dealing with it in a different sense than the people that are trying to figure out the perfect timing to stop making one product and to start making another.
Yeah.
But I have been on the receiving end of oh shit, make that now.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. it hasn't been that big of a deal. It's been more of an issue of tweaking recipes to get them just right. To get them to give us the specific yield that we want out of them for sugars and suspension to get us a certain ABV. Finding that at just the right spot has been a little bit of a task just from my end. But
well, you guys have these beers that you've had for how long? And they're they've been fine-tuned over the years.
Yeah.
And they're kind of exactly where they're at. And then suddenly you have to change this brand or this recipe. People probably think, whatever, just throw an extra bag of malt in there. But it's not that easy.
No. we have the benefit, and sometimes it seems more of an annoyance, but we have an Anton Par alkalizer that allows us to tell exactly how much alcohol is in the final product and also throughout fermentation. So it gives us a very good, it's a very good tool for trying to get exactly what we want. Also because the allowable variance in ABV for packaged products and draft products, it's going to change from 0.3 to 0.18. So that is really difficult. So if you have, let's say right now we're trying to put out a product that's 4%, and the product that we actually made is 4.2%. That's still within the legal limit.
Okay. So
for what we are allowed to put out on the market.
That's part of what changed too?
So So for breweries, it's changing as well. And it's changing for anybody that puts their product into Utah from out of state as well. So
that's tough.
It's really difficult for us to make a product with that specific 0.18 variance.
That accuracy.
And it's, I feel like at some point it's got to blow over, because there are smaller breweries and other breweries in Utah. I think the only other one that has it is Squatters Wasatch, but everybody else doesn't have that ability to test their ABV specifically.
Anton Par devices are pretty expensive, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. So it's been difficult. I'll go to like mill in a beer and somebody's like, ooh, wait, a little bit more malt or a little less malt, or like, hey, let's change this. And so then I go in and change the program and it becomes this big thing and I'm aiming for something specific and you don't really know if you're going to get it. And we're also constantly trying to be a little bit more economic. So we've been working on our wastewater currently. So we've been trying to cut out a lot of our we have a step called spent grain to drain, which is after our louder. So when the louder's finished, there's still some liquid inside of the grain, and we want to get that out of the grain before we push the grain into a big trailer. So we've been cutting out a lot of the water that's been left over at the end and trying to get that balanced so that we still get a nice, efficient louder, but we're not putting a lot down the drain. So in combination with that and trying to change all these recipes, it's been an event. It's been some work.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
But we're figuring
and
it out.
And all the beer drinkers around are just counting it down, like, oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to have 5% beer. Yay. Yeah.
There's a lot of breweries right now that are doing sales where it's like, oh, $20, $24 yeah. for a case of yeah. beer of 4%.
Well,
come and get it for
you. And the liquor store is doing it.
Are they doing it too?
Oh, yeah, because they have product that is going to be in that range between 4 and 5 that will be I guess they can't sell it there.
Yeah, I've heard like
they have
come
to put
November
it,
1st everybody's dumping beer.
They're gonna
the
they
drain.
Said they're gonna dump beer if they have it left over, but they are blowing it out, like they're trying to sell it as much as they can. And how much of the product is between 4 and 5%, I don't know, so it might depend on
did
what
you
it
say
is.
From the liquor store,
the liquor store, the state okay. liquor store. Yeah. Yeah, they've got. They can't call it a sale.
It's price marked.
Yeah, right. But they're also trying to liquidate their products because it's gonna. That's some of that stuff will end up being grocery store strength beer, so it'll go there and not the liquor store, and so they don't want to have that at the end. And if they do, I guess evidently they do this regularly, like they destroy product that doesn't sell, or
which is surprising. Yeah, there's an opportunity to still get revenue by selling
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you would think that they could still, but I guess I don't know if the law says they can't, but it's just not. I don't know, it's weird.
It's so hard to wrap your
I mean,
head around.
The breweries
stuff like that.
Can still sell their beer. It's not like you know, magically at November 1st, they can't sell 4% beer anymore. But they know everybody's like, I don't want that. I want 5% beer. And
there's still going to be those people out there that are like, wow, this is on sale for a dollar. I'm going to buy that, you know?
Yeah, well, they could still sell. Yeah. You're right.
I don't care if it's 4%.
Oh, a lot of people are just a little bit, I don't know. I have mixed feelings. I feel slightly sad to see it go. It kind of feels like the end of an era, you know? But I like the lower percentage. What I don't like is having all of these beers be the same, right? Where they're all styles, all the same alcohol percentage. But I just don't know if that's going to change at all. I mean, going up to 5%, I feel like it's just going to be like everything's now all going to be 5%. So
yeah,
what's the difference?
No, that's accurate, because coming from people that I've heard that speak with our distributors at Uinta, we didn't originally want to change one of our brands to 5%. We wanted to keep it at 4%. And the threat was, if you don't put that beer at 5%, we won't carry it anymore. Bars don't want 4% beer after November 1st.
Yeah.
And it's so disheartening. It's like, come on, some styles are meant to be at that ABV or even lower. Like, how dare you? Like,
yeah, like what's
continue.
A session beer now? Because aren't they typically between
it depends
3
on
and
beer.
4?
I mean,
oh, okay.
Like,
yeah, it depends.
You're talking about IPAs. I mean, yeah, they're like around 5 probably. A lot of there's like session IPAs, maybe even a little bit more than that. But
it's just sad that we've bred a market of
it's a
beer
mentality.
Drinkers that people want the max ABV. Because that's not what this beverage is for.
Right, but that's exactly what has come of all of this, is that that's the mentality of the people here, is that they just want, they're so fixated on the alcohol content, when that's, like you said, that's not what it's for. It's
go buy a handle of vodka,
right,
that'll
if you're trying
get
to get drunk,
you bang for your buck, like,
yeah, bang for your buck. But I mean, I do think that the breweries that maybe aren't beholden to some of the forces you described with distributors and bars, maybe like, you know, like say a Fisher They don't distribute at all. They just, they sell on premise. They're going to do whatever the hell they want. And people are going to drink it and like it.
They'll keep coming.
You know, but there's definitely a lot of styles that should be brewed below five. I mean, not a lot, but there are some, right? I mean,
yeah, it's just kind of a pain in the ass that we're being held to this 5% now instead of 4% or anything else. Like, it's such an odd restriction, because now the restriction before was like, well, you can't brew anything above 4%. And now it's like the restriction is you can't brew anything above or below 5%.
Yeah, right.
And it's like, God damn, will you stop holding my hands behind my back? Yeah. Like, just let me do what I want to do. Allow us just some sort of creative freedom.
Right. God. Let's just make some damn beer.
Yeah.
Like, come on. They're not all going to be.
I'm so ranty tonight. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I mean, I've been thinking about this. I've been feeling kind of funny. Not funny. Feeling kind of funny.
It's the CBD
oil. Yeah. I've just been thinking about this and kind of watching it play out and sort of paying attention to what people are doing and just realizing, like, this is kind of a big deal. I mean, I know people thought it wasn't, but just the change that has to take place. And this would happen no matter what, you know, if you changed it to six or you changed it, you just did away with it. Everything would have to change. And we're talking about trying to get full strength beer on draft. And that would eliminate certain, I would change certain ways that it's being dealt with. And I just think, yeah, like every time they do something in that legislature and they change the law, it affects everybody. And it's been doing, I mean, not just this law, but all the little laws that they're like, oh, let's do this. But this sounds good.
There's and always a ripple effect.
They're fucking there. With your business. And you guys, I know, with you were talking about the cider and how your classification is kind of off. And I think that was one of the things I'd heard with Utah is that weren't they trying to do something to fix that for you guys?
They ended up, we did get it fixed. So
oh, you
we
did.
Had a couple challenges when we first started. One of the challenges we had was the small producer markup. Was only 20,000 gallons.
Okay.
Which we were due to surpass that our second year. And the problem is that's a reduced tax on. So the state of Utah gave us kind of leniency because we were a small producer. If you're under 20,000 gallons, you only pay, let's say, half the tax rate.
Okay.
Now, comparing that to beer, you guys were something, beer was something like 150,000 barrels, like a ridiculous amount. So after our second year, we're like, oh my God, we're on a run rate to surpass this 20,000 gallon issue. And the problem is it would have gone back to $1. So we would have been overnight bankrupt, out of business. We wouldn't have been able to put food on table of any of our employees. Like, we would have been done.
Wow. So the difference was that much.
It was significant.
In the taxes.
It was, yeah. So instead of paying $3, we were paying $6 in tax, and our bottles are only $6. You know what
I
mean?
Oh, my God.
So it was.
You couldn't even, like, make a profit.
No.
Right. So that was bad.
That was really bad. We tried to get, you know, some help from local wineries and stuff, but there's not a whole lot of wineries in the state. So we ended up forking out some money, getting some legislation behind us, and did get it changed. They actually ended up, it's a kind of odd thing, they gave us half the volumes of beer. But the way that we're projecting, we probably won't hit that for like 15 or 20 years anyway. So we're like, we'll sell the business before then. No, I'm kidding.
But I mean, that's still like a cliff that you could hit though at some point. Like, that's like, that doesn't sound like that solved the problem.
It didn't solve the problem, but hopefully in 15, 20 years from now, when we get to that level, we'll maybe have another completely different organization out of state, in a different state, maybe running more volumes that are more conducive.
So you'll move, maybe even move your operation out of state. That's what you're saying.
I would never move from Utah,
right?
But we would consider
you could have
adding an additional DBA or additional organization in a more favorable state.
Oh man, but that sucks. Jeez. Like, Utah just misses so many opportunities.
It's hard.
Because they don't understand.
There's that trickle effect because you know, we're like, well, when we grow, what do? We put more people to work We have right. more people buying homes, more people going to the, you know, they've incomes, they can go buy things that, you know, we're paying property tax. Our staff is buying homes, paying property tax. Like, mm-hmm. there's value in small business growth. So
yeah.
why aren't we supporting that?
Right.
Amen.
We'll get there. Two steps forward, three steps back, I guess. So.
Before we dig into the next thing, though, Jennifer, I don't want to keep you here all night, but yep. is there anything else that you'd like to say?
No, just I had fun. You guys are a hoot.
hoot. You're a hoot.
Nothing else I want to say. I just definitely come by the Mountain West Cidery even after the garden season. We'll have a full bar. We've got a lot of fun things happening. We're doing a movie Monday night where we'll play classics, have a cocktail that's themed to it. We're doing a two for Tuesday, which, you know, we'll have a margarita and we're bringing in some tacos, make your own taco for, you know, I don't know what the price is, $10 or something. But we're just trying to do a lot of fun stuff to bring people into the cidery. Check us out. We do tours Friday, Saturdays, and Sundays. Just call ahead and schedule it. But yeah, just be on the lookout for some of our new products coming, and follow us on all the social media platforms. We're on them all. So thank you for having me, and enjoy the rest of the night here.
Thanks. Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
No, you do the thanks, and then I'll do the thanks.
No, thanks.
Thanks for letting us drink your tasty cider.
Yeah.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for having us and being here and all the good stuff.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
The Crafty Beer Girls podcast is made possible through the generosity of the management and staff of Mountain West Hard Cider. Featuring a variety of delicious and award-winning ciders and a full bar, you can find Mountain West Hard Cider in the Marmalade District in Salt Lake City, Utah at 425 North, 400 West. You can also find them online at mountainwestcider.com and via popular social media applications like Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And now back to the Crafty Beer Girls podcast with your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch.
So we're going to talk about GABF. Yay! Lauren looks so excited. You know why I'm excited about talking about GABF? Because Utah's breweries won awards.
Yep.
They're called medals.
Wow.
They're wow. pieces of hardware they get to wear around their necks to remind them of their awesome brewing skills. Yeah. Lauren.
Jenny.
So,
what are you doing?
I don't know. I feel like I'm doing this podcast all by myself.
Well, you're not. Mike's here.
Lauren's sitting over there too, I think.
Jenny, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about the winners.
The winners.
We have. Oh my god.
Jenny's dying.
I have a throat tickle. Excuse me. It's because I'm not drinking any beer and I'm thirsty.
Well, then fucking change it.
So
let's go.
Utah's breweries won some awards. We already mentioned this on our last podcast. Well, we didn't. Mike
no, we
did
didn't.
A nice voiceover for us, which
oh,
is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulating our
Thanks,
all the
Mike.
Local breweries.
Appreciate you.
We've got four. Let's see. One, two, three, four, five breweries won six medals between the five of them.
Mm-hmm.
So we did get a gold. One gold from Shades for their Thai Tom Kha, which is a Thai-inspired Kvike beer. We talked about Kvike before. It's that type of yeast.
What was Kvike the category for that?
I think it was herbs, like herbed beers.
Urban spice beers,
I yeah.
think that's the category.
They're,
I'm not 100% sure.
Their original version of their original Kvike won a gold last year, but that was the sour beer category, I think. Like,
yep.
So this one is actually urban spice. I actually loved this beer when I had it. It's, have you guys had this one?
No.
Either you
Which
guys
one is it?
The Thai Tom Kha.
Oh, that's the Tom Kha. I haven't had that one.
You haven't? No. Oh, you're in for a treat.
Would somebody tell Lauren to put her phone down?
I'm confirming. Ah! I'm confirming that the Thai Tom Kha was indeed from the Urban Spice Beer category from GABF. Thank you.
She's fact-checking.
Fucking very much.
She's fact-checking like a good journalist
Jesus.
Does.
Trying to get at me for being on my phone? Jenny.
Okay. Oh,
Jenny.
Here, let me pass this to you.
Jenny.
So, wait, before I pass this to you, sorry, psych. I'm going to say what is in it. Coconut, lactose, lemongrass, and galangal, which is like a Thai basil, I think. Is that right? Or Thai ginger. Fuck, I looked this up once. I forgot.
Jenny, if you took a photo of your glass, don't post it on anything.
Why?
Because it's very dirty. Dirty beer. And I make fun of breweries and people who post their fancy beers in glasses that look like that. That's awful.
What do you mean it's dirty? It's not dirty.
Okay.
Oh, because it's on the side?
No. You see like the nucleation points, the little bubbles clinging to the side of the glass? That's a huge indicator of dirty glass. So if you post that, it's kind of a joke to some people because they're like, wow, like nice beer, shitty glass. Like, what are you doing? Okay. I don't mean to chastise you. I'm just letting you know.
Well,
people make fun of people for that. And I'm one of those people that make fun
that,
of people.
I know that, but even my clean glasses seem to do that to a certain extent.
So. Sure. Sometimes.
So galangal is a
fuck.
I
feel like a little Thai fairy took a shit in my beer.
Holy shit. That's really good.
I told you. I think galangal is a kind of ginger. Is that like a Thai ginger?
Jesus Christ.
So it's just when I heard him, when Marcio, who's the brewer, talked about this beer he was going to brew, he said it was like, I guess there's a Thai soup. It's like a chicken soup that this is inspired by. Anyway, he told me about it and I thought, you know, that sounds really interesting, but I don't really know if it might not be for everyone, you know, like. It's for people who are like into weird beers. So I was expecting, to me, it sounded good. I was expecting to like it, but I wasn't expecting it to be this good. I find that it's more subtle than I thought it would be. I thought it would be gnarly, and it's not. I think it works really nice. What do you think, Lauren?
I don't even know what I think anymore.
Is it blowing your mind?
Yeah, this is impressive. I mean, you think about all of the different combinations and possibilities you could possibly put into of the different combinations that you could put into a beer in the urban spice category. It's hard to put spices and herbs into beer because the amounts that you use are it's sensitive and it doesn't always scale up the way that you think it would if you started out on a pilot system and you're brewing one barrel or 5 barrels or 5 gallons or whatever it is, and then you try to brew it at 10 barrels or 15 barrels or 120. The spices don't always scale up the same way, so I'm not sure what their research was on making this beer, but they clearly put a lot of time and effort into making the flavors balance just right.
Well, Marcio's a scientist. He's very he's very particular about all of this stuff. I'm sure he got in his lab and made it perfect, and I don't know. Anyway, I said, this is by far my favorite of the Kvike series that they've done. And they've done several. They've taken since they won gold for the original Kvike beer last year. They've actually just kind of run with it with that style. It's not a style. They've used that yeast, but they've done the same base basically. So it's a golden sour that they've used the Kvike yeast with. And, I shouldn't say Kvike yeast cause that's redundant as well. I should just say Kvike. But anyway, they've made a whole bunch of different ones with fruit and different hops and different kinds of combinations. And the Pina Colada was really good, too. They won a gold at the International Beer Awards in Idaho Falls for that one. And that was probably my favorite until I tried this one. And this one kind of like was it sold out really fast, too. It was really hard to get.
How'd you get this one?
I got there just in time to see the last one get sold and they took pity on me.
Nice.
Thanks. But they know that, you know, I'm good for some photos and and stuff like that for our social media. So I think they thought, oh, we'll get, you know, they let me buy. They didn't just give them to me.
Sure.
They let me buy them. But
yeah. Is there a pineapple in this? Did you say?
No,
there isn't. Right?
No, it's lemongrass.
It's the lemongrass and the ginger. Kind of
coconut, lactose, lemongrass, galangal, which is a ginger. And, the Kvike also gets a lot. There's like fruity esters. So you might be getting that from the yeast.
Yeah. It's very good.
That's possible. But yeah, it's such a good beer. And they're going to be brewing it again. So they definitely, that's going to be coming back out. When that comes out, go get you some. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. I'm so happy for beer to get bent in this kind of fashion and not in the kind where people are adding fried chicken and Fruit Loops.
Yeah, right. Like, this is a nice way to do it.
I like for beer to still be beer at the end of the day. Just personal preference, but yeah. Very good.
Yeah. Yay. Good job.
Jenny's in a clapping mood.
I know. I keep hearing, like, the, you know, the little, like, sound effect that Mike uses with the kids going, yay!
I think we just replaced it. Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. So, let's
What's next? Let's keep it
let's
going.
Let's talk about the other brewery that really impressed me, that won an award or won a medal. I keep saying award, like it's a little blue ribbon, but it's a medal. Level Crossing, they won bronze for their Suss It Out Rye IPA. And they've only been open 6 months. So this is their very first JBF, and they won a bronze. So I think that's pretty spectacular.
Yay!
have you guys had that beer?
Yeah.
I brought some if you guys want to drink it. But
it's very good. I had it a couple weeks ago, right after I got back from GABF. I was like, yep.
Well, it's definitely my favorite of the beers they make. Yeah, it's like it's one of their high points. They do, you know, canned beers. And it was one of their first ones. I think it was the rye. And then they have a Sol Rex double IPA. Mm-hmm. And they're both really good. I thought they were both quite good. But that rye one, I remember thinking, wow, this is really, like, I really like this beer. And I think Chris Dietrich, who's the brewer, he comes from a homebrew background. So even though they've only been open for 6 months, he's been brewing for quite a while at home. And it's a recipe he's brewed a lot back at home. So he's kind of had a lot of time with it. And then somehow, you know, he was able to scale it up just fine on the commercial scale, and worked out. I think from the first time I tasted it, it was really good. So I wasn't surprised it was that beer that won, but still, it's kind of a shock to see a brewery that's only been open for 6 months win, you know, any GABF medal.
I was sitting at awards, and he came over and sat down maybe like 30-40 minutes after they announced his medal, and he was so, like, out of it. Like, it was like,
was he in shock?
I think he was in shock, man. He was just like, whoa. Like, it was so fun to see him in that state,
because
clearly he just, like, was blindsided by this amazing medal that, you know, he snaked after 6 months of being in the biz. Very happy for him.
They were also at Idaho Falls, and they didn't win any medals there. And I know, as a homebrewer, I'm sure he won a fair amount of homebrew, like, competition medals. I think he was kind of used to that. And I think he was a little bummed that he didn't win at, I don't know.
Everybody's always bummed.
Everybody's bummed. You know, like, it's like, I didn't win anything. I didn't win any medals. I entered, but I didn't win. And then I was like, oh, there's JBF. And he's like, you know, if I didn't win here, I'm not going to win there, kind of a thing. So I'm sure he was just, like, not expecting it at all.
Wait, do you have the whole lineup? Do you have all the medal winners for us to drink?
No.
Oh, shit.
I'm out, guys.
We did drink two medal winners. Red Rock. I do have one of the Red Rock. Red Rock won two medals. Two.
They won the most medals out of the breweries in Utah in both cases, in both the International Beer Awards and GABF. They won 5 medals, I believe, at the IBA and 2 at GABF.
Yep.
So, go them.
Yeah, they seem to be having a good year for medals, for awards and medals.
Yeah.
They're, like, they're killing it. So, yay, Kevin.
Yeah.
Davis.
Yay, everybody. That's,
yay, everybody.
That's doing the hard work.
Oh, well, that's true. I know. You can't.
Hold up. It takes a team.
Well, yeah.
You know? It really does.
Red Rock just came out today with a new hazy beer called Buffalo Point. I think we mentioned that earlier, didn't we? I think it was, who's the guy that used to work at Uinta that works there now?
Ryan Murphy.
Ryan, yeah. I think this one was his idea. Like, he wanted to do the hazy. But although they've got an experimental hop that they used in this beer.
Buffalo Point is a location on Antelope Island.
It is.
It is.
It's named after a
buffaloes.
Buffaloes. There are buffaloes out there.
It's named after.
I've been named after a buffalo.
Buffaloes.
It's named after. I'm very literal.
Love
you, guys.
You, Jenny.
Oh, yes. Yes, Ryan Murphy. Yeah, I just need to have my trusty article up before so I can talk about. Okay. Berry Bombs. Berry Bombs is the nickname of the hop. The experimental hop.
That's an experimental hop is Berry Bombs?
No, it's not called that, but they called it, like, they just nicknamed it that.
Oh, all right.
So have we tried it? I haven't tried it yet.
I have.
I like the way it smells.
I do, too.
Yeah. It's a nice.
I wonder if it needs to. I wonder if it's too cold.
What? No. Yeah. Too cold.
I think I get the berries. A little bit. What do you? I'm definitely tasting some of the grain.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm getting that as part of it.
To me, I don't know why. There's a hint of smoky there for me.
Smoky.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Weird.
I'm getting a lot of like citrus pith and like bigger citrusy fruit flavors. But yeah, a lot of the grain too.
Yeah,
it's good.
That was what I first noticed when I put it on my tongue. But
I like when you put it on your tongue.
You do. Oh,
it's my favorite part.
Me too.
Guys, we can't have a pornographic podcast.
Wait, what do you mean? I thought you're not talking about beer,
Jenny.
Fuck. I'm talking about beer. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just the sip?
Oh, just a sip? Oh, my God. Stop it. Is that the podcast name now? Just the sip.
Just the sip.
And it's just like a bunch of SMR, just ASMR?
ASMR.
The Crafty Beer Girls podcast is being brought to you in part by Potato Chips, a delicious salty snack to complement any drunken tomfoolery. And by a new ASMR-themed podcast starring the Crafty Beer Girls, entitled Just the Sip, wherein the girls sip a variety of random beverages while you sit there, listen, and probably masturbate. And by the all-female metal thrash band duo Cock Punching Bitches, whose debut album, Blood, Gore, and a Dirty Bar Floor, is available in stores now. Featuring the hit single, Does Anyone Know What the Hell We Are Singing? Here's a sample. On second thought, never mind, because that was terrible. And now back to your Crafty Beer Girls podcast with your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch.
All right, squatters. Squatters. Squatters won silver medal for Hell's Keep.
Hell's yeah.
Hell's yeah. Have you had the Hell's Keep?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
It's a Belgian golden strong.
It's very good.
I think.
It's very good.
It's
very good. What else is there to do at GABF besides win medals?
Do they have like conferences and stuff that you can go
to? They don't
have
shit like that, do they?
No.
They don't?
GABF is not for learning. It's for drinking. I mean, you can learn things from people that you meet, and you can go to different like events and tastings and learn things just by experiencing. But it's not so much a structured educational class type of environment. There was a Siebel class that I took the first year that I went,
and
I was really excited about it.
Siebel.
It's like an institute for brewing learning, based out of Chicago.
Oh, okay.
It's like the brewing education.
It's the name of a school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. But nice. They had a sensory class that I took, and I was really excited, and it was cool. It was long too. It was quite informative. But I don't know if they do them anymore. Mm-hmm. The woman who was teaching them, she's from South Africa, and she was getting to the end of her career. She'd been doing it for a long time, and she was really funny and very intelligent, and it was cool to learn from her. But I don't think Siebel's doing classes there anymore. My point being, it's not really for a learning thing. It's sure. for a you know, a weekend to go and pour beer, drink beer, be around beer people.
Sure. Yeah.
Beer,
so
beer,
I guess
beer.
If you're going to learn, you would go to the Craft Brewers Conference, the CBC.
Yes, yeah. I say that, however, I've never been. But it's, from what I understand, it's a very seminar-oriented thing. I've gone to the Big Beers Festival. It's the full name is the Big Beers, Belgians, and Barley Wines Festival in Breckenridge, Colorado. Mm-hmm. That happens every January. They're coming up on their 20th anniversary. This January, the fest itself is going to be on the 11th, which is my birthday.
Oh,
so I'm definitely going. That's where I'll be.
That's convenient.
It's really cool. It's they have seminars. Yeah, you should go. It's really fun.
No, your birthday.
Oh, okay, that's fun too. But they have the seminars. Yeah, okay. They have seminars right before the fest, and they're really fucking cool. I've been to the fest 2 years now. 2020 will be my third in a row. And it's very awesome. They have a homebrew competition that's associated with it as well. So if you go and you do two volunteer shifts in the different events that they have throughout the weekend, the long weekend, really, it starts kind of on Thursday. But two of those volunteer shifts can come from judging the homebrew competition, which is what I've been doing. And that gets you into the festival for free. Which is, nice. I think tickets are $75. So it's worth it, though. It reminds me of Idaho Falls, where, like, all the brewers actually go and, like, do the thing. Mm-hmm. As opposed to GABF, where, like, maybe the brewers go, but you go to the booth and it's a lot of volunteers, yada, yada.
Right.
But it's really fun. It's cold. It's in a ski town. It's, like, 9,000 feet of elevation. Whoever decided to put a high ABV beer festival at 9,000 feet.
Smart.
Wow. I try to train up for it every year. It's an event.
How
but
do
anyway,
you train for that? Like,
just, how do you think?
Just like get shit faced.
Pretty much.
Okay.
Yeah. It's really fun. There's lots of stuff. But the seminars is what I want to get back to. I've learned some really, really cool stuff from those. They do three. They do one. I think it usually starts around 9 in the morning on Saturday before the fest, and then they have another two, and then the festival right after. And that's for learning and for drinking. So, cool. If you like both things.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, and you've come back from that and written several articles.
Oh, yeah.
About things you learned at those seminars. So those sound. I really want to go. If it wasn't the middle of ski season where I kind of.
Go up there and ski.
Okay. But I mean, I have a ski pass for Utah resorts. So I don't have to go pay and like figure out where to stay. And
the
we should do
out
it.
Where to stay thing is a little difficult. It's ski town prices.
Yeah.
It's not cheap.
Well, and if I went to ski there, like I'd have to pay unless I had a pass or some kind of discount.
Yeah.
They don't offer discounts for people going to the festival to ski.
I doubt it. There's enough people in town there to ski anyway.
Yeah,
it's January. You know, like a lot of college students are on winter break, and it's kind of a tough time.
I've just not spent a lot of time skiing outside of Utah, just because it's so good here that it's hard to want to leave. Not that there aren't great places to ski, but it's like it's right here. Why would I move my lazy ass, you know, anywhere else when I can just ski here?
Just go and don't ski. God, why is this
well
so
I
want
yeah I know I should just not like worry about skiing, like maybe I could, but yeah, I should go. I've thought this before.
Yeah, just go and
just
do the beer thing.
Just
and don't worry about
go.
The skiing, because you can do that when you come back here.
I don't understand. I've been trying to get people to come to this festival for like 2 years now.
I don't know that I've ever heard of it.
What's going on? It's nuts. It's
20 years?
Nuts.
I've never heard.
Yeah, 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, I seriously considered going last year, but I think I just kind of let it go because it was like, I was had to decide whether to buy tickets or volunteer, and I've never actually judged any, like I've not done that yet, so I guess if I ever do it, I won't worry about it so much. But since I've never done it, it's like, I don't know if that's the best first place for me to judge
a
beer competition.
There are other opportunities, though. You could
that I've missed.
Kind of steward different events where you walk around.
Yeah.
Give people beer. I've done stewarding. There's a lot of other opportunities. And there are a lot of volunteers that end up in that line when you're like about to go into the festival.
Isn't it kind of like standby though? Like if they have room, they let you in. If you're a volunteer.
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
They value their volunteers very much there. Yeah, like a lot.
Nice.
And to circle back to the GABF.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're up there, you're having a good time, you're there with your crew. What was standout moments for you? I just look at pictures from there, and it's like a Comic-Con. It's just aisles and aisles and aisles.
It looks overwhelming to me.
I've never been. I've wanted to go, but every year it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's just it absolutely looks overwhelming.
Yeah.
So for you, you know what really stood out for you from other breweries that you tried on those hundreds of thousands of tables that just fill up that convention center?
Yeah. I was really impressed by the lagers from Texas.
Oh.
Like, holy shit, hot spot for great lagers.
Wow.
No pun intended. Right.
That's
like,
awesome.
I got to go to, I think it was like 3 sessions, almost 4, kind of 4. I had to leave in the middle of it to catch a flight. But, I found myself returning to the Texas area. They have the entire room, which is really huge. Split up by geography. So they'll have like, oh, this is the Southwest region. This is the Northwest region. This is the Midwest region. And so I'd go to the Southwest region and just get into their lagers. And they're beautiful, beautiful beers.
Nice.
Anybody in particular you want to mention that really just popped out?
Oh, man. I can't remember the name of them off the top of my head.
I'm disappointed you didn't take notes.
Jeez, I did. I just haven't looked at them for a minute.
Shame on you.
Shame on you.
Disappointing. What kind of podcast is
this? I mean, Austin Beer Works was great. There was one.
What about the fucking taco beer from Wild Works?
Oh, I know. I got to mention the taco beer from Wild Works. Okay, so listen.
That sounds disgusting.
Listen.
I'm sorry.
Okay, but listen, okay? When you're at GABF and you're like drinking beers, people are like, oh, 1 ounce pours, like, you'll never get drunk. Like, fuck you, you've never been, you have no idea what you're talking about. You get drunk so fast.
Off of 1 ounce pours?
So fast.
Yeah.
You have no idea. You have to pace yourself. And in this process, you're like, oof, I need food. And then we were just stopping around a bunch of different places and found one. And I was like, whoa, they got taquitos back there. How do you get a taquito? And it was the Weldworks booth. And we go up and they start talking about this taco beer, and it sounds crazy. And like I said earlier, like, I'm not a fan of the whole like fried chicken, like weird shit in the beer thing, but this was something. It was something. I'm not saying I'd drink a pint of it, but they have this whole thing, and I really need to research the process that they used, because in all of it, in the explanation that they were giving us, I got lost, and I was like, whoa, what? So they have hot sauce, and then they take the hot sauce out of a barrel, and they put the beer in the barrel, and then they take that beer out of the barrel and mix it with some hot sauce, and they do some other weird shit, and you taste the beer, and it tastes like a goddamn taco, like lettuce and all, like all
what
of it.
What the fuck?
All of it. And they serve it with a taquito with hot sauce that they aged in the barrel that had beer that had the hot sauce in it. It was like this weird thing.
Is it a soggy taquito from the barrel?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't age the taquito. They aged the... Jesus fucking Christ. You know what? You know what? Fuck it. Maybe they did age the taquito. I don't know.
Well, I thought you said they had it in the barrel with like aged with the barrel.
The hot sauce.
The barrel they aged the hot sauce in.
But as confusing as that was for me to explain, because I'm pretty sure I got it wrong,
maybe.
I was equally as confused hearing it from the person who actually made it. But end of the story, it was the weirdest fucking beer I ever had. Yeah, I think it was the weirdest beer I ever had. And I finished the sample and I was like, But at the beginning, I was like, wow, that is something I'll never have again. It was just interesting.
But it tasted like a taco.
It tasted like a taco.
And they give you, they garnish it with a taquito? Is that what they did?
So they give you the glass of beer. Like you have your glass and they pour the sample in. And then in the other hand, you have your taquito that's in a little cup that has the sauce in it, the hot sauce.
So you can dip it in the hot sauce and everything. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
It
that's
was
been
really
aged
unique.
In the barrel that the beer was made in, if I'm following that story.
I don't know if I'm following it.
They hot sauce
I probably already fucked it up. So sorry, Weldworks, guys. My point being, you did a crazy job.
And it tasted like a taco.
It was a fucking taco beer from Weldworks.
It was a fucking taco beer.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was amazed.
Yeah.
Wow. Any
that
other
was like
crazy
the weirdest moment that I had.
Food or pastry. Just like, what the hell?
What's brew shampoo?
Okay. What? So they were handing out a lot of free shit, right? At GABF, as they do. They handed out a brew, like, conditioner. They call it BR, and then two O's with umlauts over the top. That's the dots, by the way.
Brew.
And so I was like, okay. So I've been using it, and it makes the shower smell like peppermint stout.
What?
I don't really know, like...
Is there beer? Is shampoo with beer in it?
I think it's with, like, beer... ingredients. I don't know their process. They just handed it to me.
So it's kind of like you can buy beer soap sometimes. It's kind of
a
similar thing,
like
just a shampoo.
Kind of, but like I think it's maybe a little more of the beer.
I mean, I've heard you can wash your hair with beer.
Like, yeah, here it's good for
it's
your
like
hair.
It's like supposed to be really cleansing for your hair.
Oh, good. I do it by accident sometimes.
Yeah. What? That's like supposedly the only downside is that your hair smells like beer, but I don't really see that as a downside.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got that. Other free things I got. Man, I got so many free things. It's a great time. If you like free things, just go.
Which I asked you for, and you actually brought me a little gift bag, which is right over there.
Oh, nice.
Full of stuff.
Like stickers and stuff.
Yeah. You're welcome.
What do you do with all those stickers, Mike?
Well, I'm going to put them on my cases for all the audio equipment that we use. And then I have a bunch left over that I'm just like, well, what am I going to put these on? Mm. I thought about covering my car at one point.
Don't
just
do that.
A bunch of
that's
stickers.
So silly.
I've made a lot of. I've made refrigerator ornaments out of them. Or
that's
not
a good idea.
Like, sorry, magnets. Refrigerator magnets. God, what the? Well,
it's
I was thinking I'm
much
gonna.
The same thing,
I'm planning. But. I'm thinking about making Christmas tree ornaments out of my stickers and like different and like coasters and stuff. I've been thinking about doing that. But I already have made refrigerator magnets out of them.
So how do you do that? Do you just laminate them to make them firm?
Well, so if you go to, for the magnets, if you go to a craft store, you can get like a sheet of magnet that's like adhesive and you just can cut it. So what you do is you take your sticker and you carefully
put it on the,
on the magnet sheet and then you take scissors and you cut it out. And that it's really that simple for
those.
That's
a really good idea, actually.
But for the ornaments, I'm going to find some stuff at the craft store. Like, they probably have little wooden, like, ornament-shaped things that I can get. Or, like, I don't know. We'll see. And I might do some Mod Podge and kind of, like, lacquer them onto the ornament. And I don't know. We'll see.
You know what I would do? I haven't done it for a while, but I've got a huge collection that I need to do this with. Is making bottle cap magnets. I saw somebody had done
I've done that too.
So I'm like, where do you get your magnets from? Like, if you go to Walmart, you can go to a craft store, but Walmart actually has the little button magnets for really cheap. You can get them for like a pack of 50 for $4.97.
Oh, you just
use
those.
I just bought a bunch of those and glued them. I know, because I thought, well, this is far cheaper.
Yeah.
And then I just started making, you know, bottle cap magnets.
I actually had to use two magnets for my bottle caps because the one by itself wasn't quite long, like
thick enough. These are actually they were the perfect thickness
for the
bottle caps. So if you go to Walmart and you find those in their craft section, they're just thick enough to be able to make.
Dude, we're getting so crafty right now.
I know.
Oh my
That's
God.
Awesome.
We're crafty as fuck.
The crafty beer girls.
Putting the craft in crafty beer girls.
I didn't even catch that. That's how dense I am.
Yeah, every time I do a crafty post, I think that, oh, I'm so crafty. Mm-hmm. It's crafty beer girls.
Guys, I'm going to throw up.
So, Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren.
You were going to talk about Liberati? What is that?
That's going to take too long.
Is it?
Yeah.
Liberati?
Yeah.
Is that like
I'll just
a whole
tell you generally what it is.
Is that Liberace driving a Maserati?
No.
Oh.
It's a completely hybrid concept. So their specialty is Eno beers, O-E-N-O.
Oh, you mentioned beer. This to me.
Yeah. Wait, so this is a brewery called
this
Liberati?
This is a brewery in Denver, yeah, okay. Called Liberati. Mm-hmm. I first experienced their Enno beer at the Big Beers Festival last year. They haven't even been open for a year or maybe just past a year, but they're relatively new. And their Enno beers are a hybrid between wine and beer. And it's not in the sense that they put, like, a little bit of wine must in some beer and, you know, called it whatever, a hybrid. It's completely hybrid in the sense that they ferment the wort and the grapes together. It is unlike any beverage experience I've ever had. Even though this Tom Cod that I'm drinking right now is a mind fuck in and of itself, their entire lineup at Liberati was just insane.
Wow.
They did a few different flights during the week at GABF, each day being a little bit different. When I went, they gave a flight of 8 different beers, 4 of Chardonnay grapes, 4 of Cabernet grapes, and each of those was with a different Brett strain. So they had 4 different types of Brett strains across 2 different types of grapes in their Enno beer, and it was insane. It was just incredible. Like, I didn't have words for it. Like, I was tasting and smelling things I didn't have words for, and it was just boggling and amazing.
So you're gonna do like a whole kind of article on this, right?
Yeah.
At some point. So we should revisit that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this can't take too long.
Yeah. Well, you also had something listed here. I don't even know how to pronounce that. The Boots. XT. What? Extratuff boots.
Oh.
What the fuck does that even mean?
I was talking about the coolest free shit that I got, and
really, oh yeah,
let's be honest, the coolest free thing that I got at GABF was this koozie made by Extratuff Boots.
Extratuff.
You've seen
I'm all what is this Extratuff? What is this
Extratuff?
Extratuff. What language is that?
So if you've seen the brewer boots, or perhaps the boots that are very popular in Alaska, they're the like chocolate brown with the light tan lining. A lot of brewers wear this brand. Mm-hmm. Fishermen, it's really popular.
It's like a muck
super
boot.
Solid brand. Yeah. I've been wearing a form of this brand. I think it's a knockoff, but I'm going to buy the real thing. But these are extra tough, and they were handing out these koozies, and they're hilarious. It's like the same material that the boot is made out of, and on the bottom they even have like a very similar
tread.
It's like a boot tread on the bottom.
Nice. So it'll stay put.
Hilarious.
That's awesome.
They had a booth at GABF, and they had like these koozies set up in the formation of beer pong, and so you go up, you try to shoot pong balls into the koozies, and I was really god awful at it.
But you still
got
one?
They took pity on me. They said, oh, you're from New Jersey? I was like, yeah, I'm from New Jersey. I had this like Jersey girl temporary tattoo on my hand, but I am from New
the
Jersey.
Movie?
No, this it's Jersey Girl is a brewing company in New Jersey.
Oh, there is. Okay.
But I'm like, yeah, I'm from Jersey. Like, I grew up there. And he's like, oh, you wear our boots? I was like, hell yeah, wear your boots. And he's like, all right, even if you don't get any in the koozies, we'll still give you one. I was like, sick. So they were super kind. But yeah, definitely the best thing I got there for free. And I'm going to buy some boots. So cheers
nice.
To you guys.
I think I should talk about the place that I happened upon on my vacation.
Yeah.
It has to do with JBF, but it was sort of unexpected. And I recently went to Santa Fe, and I've been writing these blog posts about my experience in Santa Fe. And one of the posts I'm working on right now, I haven't posted it yet, but maybe by the time this podcast comes out, I will have posted it, and you'll be like, oh yeah, I just read about that. That's so cool.
A joke never gets old.
I know. Well, that's not a joke. I just, like, I think about that, and I'm like, when I'm talking, I think, oh, everyone's listening right now, we're live, but it's not true. So
not true.
I just have to like check myself. That's all. Anyways, do you guys want, should I talk about that?
Yeah, but are there any more beers open?
Yeah, really. I was thinking the same thing. Could
well,
we have something to booze
well,
up?
Well, no, that's why I'm bringing it up, because like I have a beer from there. And
I
can
tie
okay.
in. Okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And that can be like a good, like, anyway.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I don't know Ready, if it'll go. Be a finale,
and
but
action.
So, I was hanging out in good old Santa Fe, New Mexico, as one does when they're in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Oh my God! Cut to the chase.
All right. Anyway, so I went to this brewery, and somebody I know in Santa Fe is like, "Hey, let's go to this brewery." It wasn't on my list of breweries to visit. It was something I hadn't heard of. And he's like, "Oh yeah, they specialize in farmhouse beer." And it's, and I'm like, "Oh wow, I love farmhouse beer. That sounds cool." And oh, they have good food. And so I was like, "Sweet, that sounds awesome." So we went there for lunch, and it's this place called Rowley Farmhouse Ales. And it's a pretty small little brewery. There's not like a ton to it, but they have a nice little patio area. And it was raining, so, but they have like a roof, they have like a little awning, so we were totally protected. We were on this, we were sitting in these picnic tables.
Did you say Rowley or Rowley?
Rowley.
So like R-O-W-L-E-Y. Okay, Rowley. Okay.
So, and we had a pretty nice lunch. They had some kind of comfort food stuff. They had a like biscuit, like fried chicken biscuit sandwich. Mm. And John had, my husband had shrimp and grits. Ooh. And we also had this like green chili cheese fries. It had this like cheese sauce. It was kind of like a white cheese sauce. It was really tasty. So the food was pretty good. And then they had this like really big beer list. They make beer obviously, but they actually it was kind of like the Bayou here where they specialize in having a large selection of beer on their menu.
Okay.
So they had all kinds of stuff on draft and bottles from other places and all around. But they had a few of theirs on draft that I tried. And then they had some bottles of their stuff. And they had some, like, cool, like, barrel-aged stuff and some Brett beer. And then the stuff on draft, I think, was, like they like to do sours. So I think I had a couple of sours and actually a stout. So they had some, like, kind of normal styles, too. But anyway, so I went to this place. I didn't really think a whole lot of it. But I found out later that... they won like 3 Great American Beer Festival medals, which I think is the most out of any brewery. I know we said like Red Rock won 2, which like, oh, cool, you won 2. But they won 3. And I guess no other brewery won more than that. So they won the most out of the entire.
GABF or over the course of several years?
No, just this.
So this past one, they won 3.
They won
total.
3. Yeah, they just barely won 3. Like when I went to visit them, that was before GABF. That was like mid September. Mm-hmm. So not very long after I was there, they won the medals, and they also won Small Brew Pub of the Year at GABF mm-hmm. this year. So they got some like total.
Is that in addition to the 3 medals that they won? I'm assuming.
Yes, okay. It's a separate award.
Category. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a yeah. more of an overall beer award they do, right?
Yeah, it usually goes to a brewery in a certain category of size. Mm-hmm. If they tend to win a lot of medals, chances are they're going to be winning the award for that size as well.
Oh, so they won 3, and then they got
Small Brew Pub of the Year. Oh. So I was like, oh my God, that's the fucking place I went. I totally just went there. Like, that's awesome. And I actually did open some of the beer that I was able to get 2. I think they only had 2 bottles that I could take to go. You could get some. There's more of them that you could get there. But, you know, whenever you drink a bottle of beer there at a place, it's usually a lot more expensive. And I didn't really have anybody to help me. I think I had, you know, 1 person with me. But I'm trying to remember what I got. Hold on.
Holding.
Well, I wanted to look up what they won too, because there was one. So, oh, the Cote d'Or.
Oh, I wish you'd be better prepared.
How do you
for
say
this?
That? You wish I'd be better prepared for this? With my bit, I know my outline isn't good enough. I forgot
it's
to put all this
thorough,
stuff.
Pretty thorough, though.
I forgot to put all this stuff in there.
It's fantastic. I don't care.
Well, I've had this page open because I've been trying to write about it. So, and they also had something called Meyer, which is like a German sour. And I actually did have that one there. But the Cote d'Or is a barrel-aged, like, mixed culture Brett beer.
Hmm.
I think it was cherries. It has cherries. But the one I had was, like, they took the cherries and did second use cherries, so they would be a little bit more subtle and mellow. Mm-hmm. That was really good. It was quite sour. Not horribly, like not bracingly sour, but still pretty sour. And the other bottle that I got there, I brought with me, and it's another Brett beer. It's not one that won, but it's just the other beer that I have from them. And I thought maybe it might. It's a big bottle too.
Oh boy!
So I thought,
break it out.
There she goes. You are a true champion. Holy cow. Oh, it's one of those cool ones. What do you call that when they do the...
Cork and cage.
Cork and cage.
Cork
thank
and cage,
you.
Baby.
It's very fancy when they do that. I feel like...
So...
Oh, so rich.
Yeah.
What, are you taking a picture now?
I just got like... You know how you open your phone and it's your face and you're like... Ah!
Yeah.
It's your own face.
I hate that. I
fucking hate that.
Especially when it shows my fucking triple chin.
I don't have a triple chin.
I know. I was totally.
My
was like,
phone would tell you otherwise.
I have a triple chin. More like a quadruple chin when my selfie camera opens up.
My chin has.
I'm glad you chose this time to take the picture as opposed to.
Yeah, I'm not thirsty.
I could have been doing
anything.
That this whole time. Mm.
I'm not thirsty. Don't worry.
So it's called Sonus of Our Own,
barged.
And it has. This is a spontaneous culture, actually. So
spontaneous culture.
So I guess it's...
Lauren.
Oh, this one's
beer
not
nerd
a
lit. What the hell is that?
If it says spontaneous, that means it's been acquired from the air. So right. Spontaneous fermentation occurs when you have wort, and typically it's used in conjunction with a cool ship or something of a similar size where you have like a very shallow pool of wort.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually some sort of stainless or wood. Oh, shit.
Yeah, baby.
And so spontaneously, different yeast from the air will settle on top of the wort, and then the wort will be... No, after you. The wort will be... sorry, I'm like watching Jenny do dances with this
yeah,
bear.
I know. I'm just completely distracting.
So in the spontaneous fermentation, the wort will be transferred from the cool ship or the vessel in which the spontaneous... bacteria or yeast were collected, and it'll be transferred to a barrel or just a fermentation vessel of some sort, and there it will do the magic that it does. I don't know what their process was, but that's typically what spontaneous
means.
Well, it has
to, they probably left it out in the open air somehow. So
wouldn't that be just out of curiosity, wouldn't that be a form of infection kind of?
It's a controlled infection, right. In a roundabout way.
Okay. All right.
Well, and oh, sorry. Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. So, I was just going to say that a local brewery that's down the street that we talked about earlier, Toasted Barrel.
Toasted Barrel.
Toasted Barrel wants to do some of this. I think they've done it like as home brewers, but they haven't, as far as I know, I think they want to do it in the cold weather. I think they find that's better. When it's cold, like there's less like junk in the air.
The hot is a little too wild for wild, you know?
Yeah, right. So if it's like winter, they're going to get a little bit more controlled cultures that will get into the beer.
Jenny.
Always talking through the pour.
I feel like I could smell that through the microphone.
I can. Mm.
It's like I hear the wetness and everything. I'm just like,
How many times have you burped?
I've done it way more than anybody else.
Yeah, you absolutely have. Yeah. I think you're the only one that's burped thus far during
well,
the podcast.
Jenny just burped.
Oh, I thought that was you. Oh, my apologies.
Jesus.
Jenny,
it was her.
Shit. No. You liar. Talk about this beer.
Yeah, talk about it.
From Rowley.
Mm. Mm. It definitely smells funky. It's probably going to be sour. I haven't tasted it yet. Is there like a little, I want to say like sulfur or something.
Yeah,
like kinda,
big
like,
sulfur.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like it's like Great Salt Lake.
That yeah, sounds very unappealing. No, I don't want to.
Not quite as shitty. It's more like an ocean sulfur. Like,
yeah, okay.
Salt Lake's a different level.
It really is.
It is. But I mean, yeah. I grew up here, and that's what I'm used to smelling.
Fair enough.
So that's my frame of reference when something smells like that.
I get like some stone fruit, definitely some peach.
Yeah.
Some peach pit, if you will. I think Mike's mouth just turned inside out.
Wow, that is tart.
It's a little tart.
Oh, I like the finish. It's like a nice wheat. almost a crispness, but
I would agree with the Christmas. Yeah. Sure, Christmas.
It's like Christmas.
Get down with the Christmas.
That's what I felt like when I found out that I went to this brewery. It was Christmas.
Oh, fuck. We're not doing anything any favors right now. Not even ourselves.
We are so sorry, Rowley.
Not even that drunk.
No.
Not that drunk.
Just that tired.
I'm a little tired.
I'm tired too, but I'm having a good time. Wow, I really like that a lot. It's very tart to me. It's very...
Yeah, I wonder, like, it's one of those beers, it's been in my cooler, so it's probably a little cold. I bet you as it warms, it'll change.
For sure.
Maybe.
And a little bit more depth to it.
There's, like, a little diacetyl in there, but it's the level that's, like, well, it's acceptable. Spontaneous fermentation. Oh, what the hey, it's yeah, it's acceptable.
Here you go. Mm. I do like that.
Now I'm like, can I taste the diacetyl? Because I always have a hard time with that.
That's the buttery one, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I'm getting that or not. I think I taste it more when it's, it kind of tastes like butterscotch.
Yeah. This isn't quite,
It's not to that point, probably.
It's at that high of a threshold yet.
Anyway, if you ever get a chance to try those, or if you're ever in Santa Fe.
Was that where Rowley is located?
Yeah, Rowley's in Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I was hanging out, riding bikes, and just happened to go. Didn't know I was going to a future GABF winner like that, but
a big winner at that.
A big winner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. Well, the thing is Santa Fe isn't the one. Like, when you go to New Mexico, Santa Fe is like, I think it's the capital, but it's a smaller city, whereas Albuquerque is like the big city. It seems like there's a lot more breweries in Albuquerque that people are like getting all excited about. But I feel like Santa Fe has some pretty solid, like a pretty solid beer scene from what I saw when I was there. And judging by Rowley as an example, this little brewery that happens to be tucked away there in one of the side streets on Santa Fe. Yeah, they're winning some awards and I feel pretty fortunate to get dragged there without my knowledge of their greatness.
What do you mean? Who dragged you there?
So I like I said, it wasn't on my list.
So you dragged yourself there?
Well, somebody took me there.
Who was doing the dragging?
Yeah.
It was a guy named Tim Fowler. He was running the Santa Fe Mountain Fest. He was the guy that runs that. So he lives there, and we got done mountain biking, and he was like, hey, you hungry? Like, there's this brewery that I like, that people seem to like, and
nice.
I really like it, and... He was like, do you like farmhouse and like sour beers? And I was like, oh, yeah, speaking my language. So he started describing. I was like, yeah, take me there. And John was down. They said they had food. So that's all John needs to hear.
Yeah, that's all your husband needs to hear.
Like good
all
food.
Right, cool. Good food. Yeah. I'm there.
You guys got to go. Really.
Yeah.
Let's get
out of here, guys. We
got to go.
We've spent
a lot of time.
Fun hours here at Mountain West and.
They're actually locking the doors with
They're
us.
They're locking
here.
The doors.
It's not a joke. They really are.
Yeah. So
spend an overnight.
We really appreciate you guys listening to our mumbo jumbo.
Can't believe you got this far, really.
We would have went further, but we didn't realize what time it was. Whoops. Yeah. Oh, don't do that. Oh, come on.
Yes, don't start that now.
Shit.
Yeah.
Hey, there we go. Yeah.
Tune in next time.
Yeah. Wrap it up.
Next time on the Crafty Beer Girl.
Where can they find you?
Craftybeergirls.com.
Yeah, you can find us on our blog at craftybeergirls.com. And we'd like to also thank Red Rock Brewing Company for sponsoring our blog.
Hey.
And providing a platform for us to, you know, do our
produce
Crafty Beer Girls thing.
Produce our productions.
Right. Produce our productions. And thanks again to Mike, the janitor, and Milling Around Studios for producing this podcast.
Thanks. Thanks to Mountain West and Hard Cider Recording Studios for loaning us the space.
Yep.
Yes.
Even after you close your doors.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Oh, man.
We'll lock up.
The Crafty Beer Girls Podcast is a feature presentation of Millen Around Studios and is produced and edited by Mike the Janitor Millen and is created and hosted by Jenny Schaefer and Lauren Lurch. This edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast was recorded on location at Mountain West Hard Cider. Visit their tap house and cidery at 425 North, 400 West in Salt Lake City, Utah. You can also follow them on popular social media and visit them online at mountainwestcider.com. The Crafty Beer Girls Podcast and the Crafty Beer Girls blog at craftybeergirls.com is made possible by the Red Rock Brewing Company. Visit their locations in downtown Salt Lake City, at Fashion Place Mall in Murray City, and in the ever-popular Park City, Utah. You can also check out their beer store at 443 North, 400 West, right next door to Mountain West Hard Cider in the heart of the Marmalade District in Salt Lake City, Utah. Check them out on social media and visit them online at redrockbrewing.com. Should you want to participate in or host a future edition of the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, or you would like to address your questions, comments, concerns, please write to craftybeergirlsblog@gmail.com. And as always, everyone here at the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast would like to remind you to please drink responsibly. Do not drink and drive. Call a friend, call a cab, call a rideshare. Protect yourself and those around you. Next time on the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, your hosts, Jenny Schaefer and Laura Lurch, transmit from the Red Rock Brewing Company's location in Park City, Utah, and speak with brewer Kevin Davis. That's next time on the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast. From all of us here at the Crafty Beer Girls Podcast, we want to thank you so much for listening and ask you to subscribe and share on whatever streaming audio platform you use. Cheers!